You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Matt Chandler, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dehati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. I'm Ed Stetzer, your not always host, but your occasional host, and happy to have these conversations. We're going to talk some today about burnout. And I will tell you that I have walked through seasons of burnout. It really depends on what people describe burnout as, but I would say that I've walked through seasons of burnout, actually, at one point during COVID, and had to step away for a couple of days, kind of regroup and more. And I might share about that a little bit later on. My guests on this episode were the guests that we had last episode as well. Two, and what a great episode that was. We got James Hobson, who's lead pastor of Hill City Community Church in Lynchburg. He's planted the church. And Jessica Thompson is director of operations for New City. That's a church planting network in the DC capital region. Served in different staff roles at McLean Bible Church before that. And there she works with church planting leaders in the DC area and more. So happy to have you both back. We want to talk about some of these issues of burnout. And one of the resources I want to mention to you up ahead of time is the Church Planting Primer. Maybe take a group of leaders from your church through the Church Planting Primer. It's a free 4-session. It's on our website, designed to help Christians understand the biblical rationale for church planting, suggest practical ways to get involved, take the course yourself, or use it as a small group curriculum to prepare your congregation for multiplication. It's available free, like all of our resources, at newchurches.com. So there's a book. Christopher Ash wrote a book called Zeal Without Burnout, which, can I just say, is so much a better title than the books I've written, particularly the one on church planting. I wrote a book called Viral Churches on Church Planting, which after COVID doesn't seem like the best title. But anyway, Warren Bird and I wrote that together. But here's what he says. He says, we must not allow ourselves to slip into a false spirituality that treats our bodily existence as if it can be separated from our so-called spiritual life, as if our spiritual life carries on independently from what's happening in our bodies, unquote. So today we're going to look at burnout in church planting. And I will tell you, I think, as someone who's been involved in church planting since 1988, there's a lot of bodies on the side of the road at church planting that burned out and didn't recover, didn't make it through the long haul. And I've often described my first church planting experience in Buffalo, New York, as the opening scene from Saving Private Ryan, when people would jump out of the boat and they'd rush towards the shore, and one out of 30 would make it to the shore alive. And again, in the last episode, our guest, James Hobson, was actually said, do anything else. Well, listen, I don't, it's not like that now. It's not one out of 30 making it to the shore. But the reality is there's still far too much burnout. We've got systems and structures. I wrote my PhD dissertation on the systems and structures that keep church planters from being a casualty of the church planting journey. But the reality, it's difficult. It's challenging. And as a church planter, you need to be able to notice when you're feeling burned out and know where to go for encouragement, fulfillment, you know, sustainability, and more. So again, there's some symptoms of burnout and fatigue that we're going to talk about today. And we're going to talk about these symptoms really one by one. So through our conversation and kind of how they manifest themselves in ministry settings. Here are the 5 symptoms that we're going to walk through. So they are exhaustion, isolation, desire for escape, irritability, and illness. Now, I'm going to mention for me, it was early on in COVID when, you know, we launched coronavirusinthechurch.com. We were working, our team was early on. I'd met with the Surgeon General at the White House, and he had asked us to help warn the churches. And so we did early on in COVID, and our team was working 16-hour days. And I wasn't paying attention to my family like I should have, to be perfectly honest. I wasn't paying attention to my physical health. And then a friend of mine, Darren Patrick, died. And that was the day that was just too much for me. I experienced that burnout, and I actually I wept for a day. And I mean, I love Darren, but I wept for a day. I wept into the second day. And I realized that I had pushed too far for too long. I actually went to my doctor, who we kind of changed some, made some lifestyle changes and more. But we can get exhausted. I was exhausted and I was able to recoup. I mean, people can take longer and shorter. It's different for everybody. But I took a couple of days, reset my schedule, made a more sustainable pace. But I do think there are two kinds of exhaustion. There's hard work that we love that leaves us kind of tired at the end of the day. But there's the kind of tired that sleep can't fix. And that's where I was, a tiredness of the soul. And I guess the question is, and I want to just talk to my guests a little bit about it. What should a pastor or church planner who's feeling that kind of tired do? And I'll go first to Jess and then to James. So what should a church planner who's at the soul level of tired, what do you do at that point when maybe the lights are flashing red?
I mean, right. Ideally, I guess the best thing to do is to set up some strategies and preventions to maybe not quite get there. Yeah. Ideally, like prevention would be great, but we're all going to go through seasons of ministry that are just all encompassing. So, you know, I think in the book, Zeal Without Burnout, he also talks about the seven things that you can do to help, you know, yourself not get burned out. But I think like you were saying, referencing, you know, creating that margin and carving out space and reset, it's going to take a reset. If you're to that point where, you know, you're just exhausted, it's going to take sleep, actually, actual sleep too, and rest, things that God didn't necessarily need, but he intended for us to have. And he also talks about in the seven things about inward renewal and those things that only you can know what revives you. Is it nature? Is it art? Is it music? Is it whatever? You know, those things that your spirit feels revived in. So he talks about inward renewal, encouragement, delighting in things. He's got a lot of examples in the book too, but I think it's going to be intentionally resetting your life and adjusting the parameters that got you to that spot.
You know, I think that's really fantastic. If I can jump in, I want to say, like, to your point, Ed, I'm really moved by it because COVID, one of the things I think I want to talk about is like, what happens when burnout happens to us? All right. So we had no choice over COVID. It just kind of smacked all of us.
Yep.
But one of the things that got me more than COVID was in 2020, the, you know, murder of George Floyd and the racial revolution. When I talk about burnout of my soul, I meant it was moments where I would weep uncontrollably at random. Mm. At random times, like I'm just like really fidgety. And I'm so tired. And it doesn't make sense what I'm gonna say, but I'm so tired I can't even go to sleep.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, I had this insatiable ability to keep watching. Why did I not turn off my phone? Why did I not turn off YouTube? And I mean, to be honest with you, I don't want to say that I necessarily had some grand practical solution other than the good news of the gospel of Jesus kept me in that moment, kept my sanity in that moment, that I had to really realize like Jesus is my only hope in this moment. And so I also want to speak to, all right, yes, let's do some preventative things. Yes, let's be mindful of some things, but sometimes burnout happens to us and COVID just slaps us in the face. These racial things kind of slap us in the face. And it really could be a death in the family or a death of somebody you weren't expecting to die. And what happens in those moments, I really want to say that if it wasn't for my faith, a deep-rooted sense of actually it's not my works for Jesus, but Jesus works for me, I don't know if I would have been kept either. Because it was hard to stay together in that time.
No, I think it's important distinction too, because even in our answers, you being African American person of color, who experienced the murder of Lord George Floyd differently than where it became really much. I mean, that was a part of their journey you went through, and it might be different for each person as kind of walk through those challenges differently. And it could be different. The word triggers is probably used in a lot of different ways, but there could be different triggers that point us to some of that exhaustion and burnout where that might not have burned Jess out, but right. that did burn Ed out, or that might have burned James out, but it did burn, you know, Jess, you know. So I think it's important that we recognize and that awareness, that self-awareness that you ultimately experienced is, I think, key. I think key for all of us to kind of find what that self-awareness looks like.
Yeah. And especially, I mean, the past couple of years with COVID, I think has changed a little bit of maybe how we did ministry. Maybe it's shifting back slightly, but church planting has always been a very social role. It's always been something, you know, that requires a lot of us, externally extroversion. So if that's not your strong suit, I'm sure that takes a lot out of you. But often the first symptom of ministry burnout is a loss of desire to be with people. So what would you say to a church planter who has a desire to, you know, rush to his car as soon as possible after a gathering, you know, that's like hightailing it out of there, not looking for conversations? What would you say in those situations?
Yeah, so it seems like a cause of concern. And again, keeping in mind that, you know, I'm an extrovert and Donna's an introvert. But the key word is that, you know, if someone on this church planning team is rushing to his or her car to get away, that's a sign that there may be some of that isolation. The desire to be isolated is, I think, part of, you know, just tired of people. And I've seen it. I've seen it where, like, you know, and I get that people make jokes about this and they say, oh, pastor would be great if it weren't for the people. And I don't know if that's the best joke, but what I would say is when that becomes a reality, when there's a growing resentment towards other people and desire to get away from them, I think ultimately that might be a cause for concern. James, what have you seen? What's been even your own experience when you've found yourself? Because I've burned out more than once. I mean, right. It depends on how you describe it. I mean, I haven't left the ministry, but there are times when I'm like, right. I gotta step away for a bit.
Right. I mean, I'm definitely going to answer that question, but I'm going to add another question to that.
Please.
And just talking about basically, I mean, and this is another one of our points, and I feel like it fits in correctly, this desire to escape.
Yeah.
And how important it is to basically have like friends. One of the things that was difficult with me, just like you, Ed, I'm a high extrovert. But because my 9-to-5 job is me being an extrovert, I became an introvert and I didn't realize it. And so for me, it was like, man, all of my relational energy is done. So I'm going home. However, my wife who stays at home, we just had a baby, is like, hey, I'm ready for us to go out.
Ready to go. We got to talk. We got to go out.
Oh my gosh. Talking to how was your day? How was it going? Fine.
Yeah.
Right. But fine. Give me some more details. What details? I went to work. I came back home. You hate me? No, I didn't say it. And now I'm in the doghouse. I say that, first of all, my wife is amazing and I appreciate her being gracious with me, but I didn't even realize that that was happening to me, that I did enjoy this time publicly, but my wife who's been with, cause our kids, my oldest is 6, my middle is 2 and our youngest is 6 months. So she's literally with little kids all day. She is desiring this conversation with an adult, and who could blame her? The other piece, kind of answering my question, and then I want to pose it to you guys about friends. Another reason why she really loved me, yes, I'm her husband, but also the planting couple. My wife and I found we really can't be friends with everybody because we shared some struggles that we felt with the church, and people took that as we didn't like pastoring. No, it's not that I didn't like pastoring. It was just very difficult to try to launch this thing. So we found it difficult that as we were trying to cultivate a community of people, that I felt like I had to have my community group, James self, and a different Pastor James around other pastors and planters.
Yeah.
That they really didn't get the weight of the ministry and couldn't really resonate with some of the struggles. So, I mean, Jess or Ed, how would either of you respond to, you know, having close friends?
I know for me, just being in ministry at McLean for the, you know, since 2003, I really think the only thing that sustains you in ministry, and I think that's what we're talking about, is this sustainable sacrifice, because there has to be a sacrifice, right? Burnout isn't always all bad. The Bible talks about burning out for the Lord in some cases, but I think it needs to be the difference between a godly sacrifice that requires burnout, and then a sacrifice that's sustainable over time. And for me, that's just been friends, like you were talking about, James, where you can just be real with, where you don't have to put things in a certain way that hopefully won't offend them, or, you know, that you can just relax, say something, you know, that doesn't off-putting, or, you know, you just need people that you can be yourself with. So I've always tried to have three different types of friends, friends like that, where I can not have a ministry hat on and just be myself, friends that are mentoring me, that I look up to, that have done this before, that give me guidance. And then obviously people that you're pouring into. But I think so often in ministry, it's hard to have those people that you can be real with, because, you know, they're in their church, they see you, you know, whatever. But those are, gosh, I think those are the most life-giving ones.
That's awesome. And if I could just clarify, the bullet point that I really wanted to hit was just this desire to escape.
Yeah.
And really, we shouldn't escape a community of believers, right? And when we see the garden, Jesus said, the word, God is saying, the triune God is saying, man, everything's good. Everything's good. Everything's good. When he says something's not good, it's not good that man is alone.
Yeah, strong, good word. We talked about exhaustion. We've talked about isolation. We talked about some of that desire to escape, and that's a key part of it. But another is irritability. And it can be a sign of burnout. And I would say for me, that's the time that I can think of conversations where somebody, one of my elders at Church Planet said, you know, it seems you're on edge a lot, and could speak into my life, right? So irritability can be a sign of burnout. And I think in general, a sign that can hinder your spiritual growth. And irritable pastor is not fun for probably anybody. But for me, I've seen, and others have seen in me, irritability when I get pushed to the edge and I'm not, you know, taking care of myself. I'm not avoiding burnout. What have you seen, Jess, working with planters? And how does it manifest itself in the planter, and not just a planter, but maybe the planter in the team's life?
I think, interestingly enough, out of all five of these symptoms, irritability is the one that almost causes the most external damage. You know, a lot of these other symptoms are things that are happening internally, or, you know, obviously if you're pulling away because you're exhausted or isolating, that's going to have an impact on your ministry. But irritability is one that real quick you see it manifest itself in the life of the people around you. I mean, it creates discouragement. It creates just a failure. People don't feel motivated. They're not excited about the work that you're doing. You know, there's some of the most like church planters that we see that have all this success are ones that can just rally and motivate people and are inspiring. And if you have all this resentment and irritability, that's not possible to do in the life of your church. So I think it really has the ability to taint so much of your ministry really quickly.
Yeah, good. James, what would you have?
You know, growing up, I never heard the term burnout.
Really?
It wasn't really until I started reading other books and going to a Baptist university. I mean, I grew up Pentecostal. Burnout, what do you mean? When the doors open, you're there. You know, all the way until the doors close, you give your right arm for the ministry. I didn't know what burnout was until, I mean, I'm laying in bed and just can't move. And we got service tonight and I'm really stressing out because I'm not there to, because at my church, it was, and I was leading worship at the time, there weren't small groups. It was Sunday morning, midweek service. And so basically it's 104 gatherings we got to be preparing for readily. My goodness, like there, it wasn't this decentralized, that's a sexy word now. What is that? You know, it's this same, this is the 20-80 principle. The same 20% of people are doing all of the work. Yeah. I said all that to say, when we talk about irritability, as a planter now, when I look back at my times in that earlier church, Pentecostal church plant, I wish whoever, my lead planter or any supervisors, would have seen irritability in me and said, hey, James, why don't you take the night off? Why don't you take the week off? And I've done that with my team here, and they thought I was trying to discipline them. Like, man, and I said, actually, I'm trying to do the opposite. I'm trying to say, listen, your mental and emotional health and your family, if they're married, that matters. And listen, we'll actually pick up the slack in your place. And so it actually took a while before it became a culture in our church where, yes, they can schedule their own time off, but I wish I would have had someone else over me looking at me being just kind of snapping at my team. You know, and it's kind of like, though we're supposed to be exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, just when you're really on the edge of burnout, small things become big things.
Right. And having somebody who can step in just real quick and be like, I see that. let's do something about it right now rather than letting it build.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I would have welcomed that. And so I try to do that with my team. It's still a culture. I don't want to say we're perfect. It's still a culture we're trying to create. But people on the back end have said, actually, thank you for giving me that week. I really needed it.
Yeah. And I think if we do that, that's the final symptom of burnout is sickness. So do you think most pastors are in tune, as they should be, with their connection between their spiritual and physical health? You know, how long till it impacts your body physically?
Wow. I would say no, like hard pass no. I think this is a pretty common thing. And I think, you know, gosh, it's a pretty common thing in my life. I mean, I think that a lot of pastors and church leaders, you remember kind of where we started with that quote that talked about how, you know, spiritual life can be kind of separate from what's happening in our bodies. I think that's like a thing. I mean, I hopefully, if you're a new listener or regular to New Churches and you're like, this is, you could send this episode. Maybe you don't even listen to the 6,000 other episodes we have, but you could send this episode to somebody and give them a hint, because this is a very real issue. And physical illness. So even like for me, you know, after, I mentioned kind of last kind of season, I went through burnout. I mean, I physically felt it and I needed to rest and I needed to, and I slept more the next few nights just to kind of walk through it. But I think we know, and we science shows us that we see, well, we just see that stress, anxiety, all these things have physical manifestation. The body keeps count, people might say, but as a book by that name. And I think ultimately this is the challenge. And so as you're listening to this conversation, man, realize your limitations, and those are God-given limitations as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, if I can read a scripture verse, Psalm 29:11 says, "The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace." And I think many times we can forget and easily forget that God Himself is the source of our strength. And one of the things I think is so beautiful, going back to the garden, is on that seventh day, God rested. He didn't need to rest from His work. He chose to rest. And then He blesses humanity by saying, I want to gift you with something called Sabbath. 6 days you're going to work, but on that seventh day, Sabbath. And I really did not understand the value of that word. So I just want to kind of kick it to you guys. What other gospel truths do we need to remember when it comes to feeling tired or overwhelmed?
You first, Justin. I'll close this out.
Yeah. I mean, James, you referenced this earlier about only God can fill us. Just this past week, I was reading Job 38. That's, you know, at the end of Job, when he's spent pretty much the whole time talking about how miserable his life is. And granted, it was pretty miserable. But, you know, then it's God's turn. And he just, in those next two chapters, just reminds Job who he is and what he's done. And if you ever just need a reminder of why you're doing what you're doing for the Lord, and maybe this season is really difficult and really hard and you're exhausted, I would just encourage you to just read that and remember this God that you serve and how great and mighty He is and how much He can do with how little you are capable of. And I think it's being inspired and reminded of your salvation and the greatness of the God who loves you, and filling yourself up with truth, because the Holy Spirit can fill you right back up.
So good. So good. And I would say, to remind everyone, church planning is not a me, it's a we. I recognize that it is very much driven. The church planning model that most of us inherited or served in is this entrepreneurial planter comes in, carves from the soil of lostness and darkness a new church plant, and it very much feels like it's all dependent upon you. It's not all dependent upon you. The Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who think otherwise. And so my exhortation to you is to recognize the symptoms of burnout. And I recognize too, that doesn't mean you have to, you know, not everyone is going to be stepping away from the church. You don't have to. I mean, burnout sounds like it's done. It's out, burn and out. I would say ultimately you can create a pace and a path forward if you will be aware of your physical limitations, your spiritual need, your relational connectedness. Remember the five things that we talked about here. Five symptoms, maybe you're experiencing them right now: exhaustion, isolation, desire for escape, irritability, and illness, physical illness that can relate to that, and could be different manifestations of that. So let me encourage you, take that time, connect with a mentor. If you don't have one, connect with your denominational leader or some sponsor church partner. Share some of the challenges. Know our resources are here to help. That's what newchurches.com is here for. Lots of resources on finishing the long journey well. We need you for the long haul. Thanks for listening to this episode of the New Churches Podcast.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.